Arapata Rubin is joining us. Arapata spent the better part of 20 years looking after the whakapapa unit for Ngāi Tahu. And Te Runanga o Ngāi Tahu are honouring those who served in World War I by bringing their stories to life. Their whakapapa unit have published a pukapuka, Hero Mahara, that was some years ago, which tells the history of 270 Ngāi Tahu soldiers who served in World War I. Since its publication and the launch of an accompanying website, at least 50 Ngāi Tahu World War I soldiers have been identified, and the unit want whānau to come forward to help tell their stories. Te Runanga Ngāi Tahu Whakapapa Manager Arapata Rubin is joining us. Thanks for joining us today, Rubin. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, matua.
Kia ora. It's good. It must be a really interesting mahi you've been involved in the last part of your working life, brother, and unravelling some of the richness of service, kōrero, and therefore pride within whānau Māori is very important. Tell us about the book and how it's helped to bring forward whānau of those soldiers who weren't identified initially by Ngāi Tahu, Rubin.
Yeah, so the nebulous was my great-grandfather, my father's side, his name was on our war memorial down at Tūriti, Urupa and Tuahiwi. And I quizzed my dad about him, and my dad knew nothing of him. And I went, okay. And then after doing some research, my Pola was born a couple of years after his older brother died, so my dad didn't have any stories from his dad about his uncle. And I started thinking how many others were in the same situation. And then thinking more about it, I thought these soldiers need to be acknowledged. It was coming up to the 100th centenary of World War I. Yeah, so we decided naively to tell their stories. We were quite surprised we got that many soldiers. Our processes back then was just manually going through the nominal rolls and would pop a Ngāi Tahu name and we'd do some research and sure enough. Yeah. But we always knew we wouldn't capture all of those men. So after 3 years of researching and interviewing kaumātuas, we bit the bullet, so to speak, and published a book. And probably within weeks, we were getting inquiries from whānau saying, oh, my pole is not there, my pole's not there. This one said, and we kind of had an internal chuckle because we'd been asking whānau for the last 3 years, to tell us who their tūpuna were that served. So we always knew we were going to do a second book once we'd set aside sufficient time. And, we've come across 50 so far that we've confirmed as Ngāi Tahu men. And probably got another 100 there waiting for final confirmation. Yeah.
Tēnā koe. One thing, as we approach Anzac Day 2, it's one thing to see on an obelisk names, for instance, of those who have served. Many of our towns have those, but the richness of their real life stories are not contained in a name. This is different because I guess it delves a little deeper into who they were, how they came to be doing what they were doing during those tragic campaigns of yesteryear. The story's more important than the names, ne?
True. Look, we were really fortunate. We got to interview three children of World War I soldiers and probably about another seven or eight mukapuna who were in their 70s and 80s that had vivid memories of their power going to war, coming back. And again, we were really naive. The stories they told us, they were very honest, very brutal. And to be fair, I think after the third or fourth interview, I was ready to pack it in. I'd heard such horrific stories of their on their return. Yeah. And I came to realise that maybe it was the lucky ones were the ones that died over there, and the unlucky ones got to come home.
Gee, that's a kōrero. What prompts you to say that, mate?
There was no acknowledgement of post-traumatic stress order. They weren't able to access the land, farmlands that the Europeans had. They became very, some of them were very depressed. They couldn't reintegrate into normal life again from the tragedies they'd witnessed overseas. A lot of alcohol abuse, family violence, that sort of stuff. Yeah, it was really horrific. But these all came from the words of the children and grandchildren. Yeah, to me, and became a person after the fourth one. I don't know if I can carry on doing it. Then had a cordial, close friend, and he said, "Look, these stories need to be told. Carry on, do it, finish it." Yeah.
And there we are. We're still inviting people to make contact with Ngāi Tahu. If you know anyone who served, who has whakapapa links to our proud Te Wai Pounamu-based peoples, then please make contact with Arapata. He runs the whakapapa unit for Ngāi Tahu and would welcome your contact. On a personal level, brother, what are your intentions tomorrow? Where do you acknowledge Anzac Day, you and your whānau?
So I'll be in Kaiapoi tomorrow morning for dawn service. And then we have our own Anzacs march in at Tuahiwi in the afternoon, 2 o'clock. So I can remember 20, 25 years ago, a serviceman was standing over my Polar's grapes, and I went over and chatted to him, Pākehā gentleman, and he served with me grandfather, me Polar. And he told me some stories about him when they were overseas, yeah. So we've always acknowledged that the marae put on the day, the Anzac Day, they all welcome back to the marae after service. And the old boys love it because they get a hearty kai in their puku before they go home, yeah.
It's a special day right across Aotearoa tomorrow, and thank you for sharing some kōrero about Ngāi Tahu and this register, but it's not just names, it's the pakiwaitara, it's the stories about these people which create the richness of the pukapuka that is available and will be added to as well. Ruben, Arapata Ruben joining us, of course, is the Ngāi Tahu whakapapa manager. Thanks, Arapata, it's been great having a kōrero with you. All the best for tomorrow.
Thank you. Hei kona.
Ngā reo re kia koe. You're 603 Urban Māori Radio, 825.